When they lived a semi-sedentary lifestyle in the forest, our ancestors built dome-shaped, bark or thatch-covered dwellings. After moving to the plains, they favored conical hide-covered dwellings. Both could withstand high winds and were relatively easy to erect and take down, and they were built from readily available materials. The conical dwellings, or teepee, which means they lived there, was portable as well. Living in either type of dwelling was a constant reminder for the inhabitants that life flowed in a circle and that they were unalterably connected to everything that was part of it. So both designs were based on practical as well as spiritual needs. When my ancestors moved out onto the plains, their conical dwellings were arranged in circular encampments as well. A typical encampment or village was small, usually 20 to 40 families and roughly that many dwellings. When space and topography of a chosen site allowed, a small village would be arranged in a single circular row of dwellings. The larger villages would have double or triple rows of dwellings. Because each individual dwelling faced its door to the east, the entrance to the village was also to the east. East-facing teepee doors and village entrances were both practical and spiritual. Prevailing winds, especially in autumn and winter, came from the west and northwest, so the door needed to be on the sheltered or lee side of the dwelling. An eastward view was also a greeting to the new sun each day, thereby acknowledging the continuous cycle of life. One of the most popular designs seen on Lakota art or cultural artifacts is the medicine wheel. The Lakota word for it is changleshka, or spotted wood. This literal description is from the four colors painted on a wheel or hoop, which is made of wood. The shape and the colors used represent the power of life, hence the translated term medicine wheel having pajuta or medicine can mean possessing a certain power or ability. The medicine wheel is circular, with a balanced cross of two intersecting lines in its center. The ends of the lines connect with the wheel at four points. The circle, of course, represents life, and the two intersecting lines represents the two roads in life, the good road, usually painted in red, and the bad road, usually painted black. The good road is also referred to as the red road. It is the most difficult to travel. The bad road, the black, is a wide, easy way to go. These are the two basic choices in life, and we choose one in every situation, the good or the bad. The four sacred colors of red, yellow, black, and white are included in the medicine wheel. The medicine wheel incorporates another important symbol in Lakota tradition and spirituality, the number four. Like the circle, the number four represents certain realities in life. There are the four seasons, winter, spring, summer, and autumn, the four directions, east, south, west, and north, and the four basic elements of life, earth, wind, or air, fire, and water. As a symbol or artifact, the medicine wheel can be found in two- or three-dimensional Lakota art and in the art of many other tribes as well. It is a sacred or holy symbol for traditional Lakota people, the way the cross is for Christians and the Star of David is for Jews. The greatest principle the circle symbolizes for me is the equality that applies to all forms of life. In other words, no one form of life is greater or lesser than any other form. We are different from one another, certainly, but different is not defined as greater than or less than. And we all share a common journey, the Makawi Choni, or life on earth, in English, the circle of life. This is a much broader scope than the Judeo-Christian ideology that man has dominion over other forms of life. The concept that all life is equal doesn't necessarily circumvent the food chain viewpoint wherein living things are either prey or predator, those who are eaten and those who do the eating. The smaller, weaker, and slower are killed by the bigger, stronger, and faster. Undeniably, that is the way the natural world functions. The survival of the fittest and the strongest, some call it. But whether we are prey or predator, weak or strong, we are all part of a larger community, the largest of all, the circle of life. There is a reality that makes the mole equal to the bear, a reality that connects us all, whether we walk, fly, crawl, swim, or grow roots. We are all born and we all die. This is such a simple and quiet reality that we humans allow our arrogance to obscure it and our ignorance to deny it. My maternal grandfather, like many of his generation, was realistic about life and death. He said quite often that death is a part of life. For him, death was not a taboo subject to talk about. One of the most profound comments he made provides an insight into the reality that connects all living things. "You cannot fight death," he said. "You can only fight for life." No matter who or what we are born, more or less fulfill our purpose or destiny, and then we die. The most powerful creature on earth cannot cheat death. So in that sense, the biggest, the swiftest, the most intelligent is no more powerful than the lowliest. In the end, the earth will reclaim us all. We don't arrange our dwellings in circles any longer. Our villages are now housing projects, and our houses are square. If our front door faces to the east, it most likely isn't intentional. Interestingly, I've noticed that anytime a group of Lakota gather together, they naturally form a circle. Perhaps there is a grain of genetic memory that compels us to subconsciously reconnect with a part of ourselves that has been trampled by television, cyberspace, paternalism, racism, indifference, and other challenges wrought by four generations of cultural upheaval. Though the circle is not as common in everyday life as it once was, it is still a prominent part of our ceremonial lives. Dancing arbors or arenas are round, and most of the traditional dances move in a circle from east to west, of course. Fortunately, the circle is a never-ending flow, and more young people from each generation are reconnecting with traditions and values. 3 years ago, I participated in a nikahapi, where the leader of the ceremonial was a young Oglala Lakota in his mid-20s. A circle, in one sense, continually renews itself. What goes around comes around. For that reason, the Inikarapi is the one ceremony that, for me, represents our cultural rebirth and renewal.